first of all, if you look at my main page, I've got... This needs to go up there. There are examples in VB.net, and there are a lot of good examples under there. .net is still widely used. In fact, when it comes up, when you look at languages, there'll be a classification for VB and VB.net, and they're fairly close together. So VB.net is still widely used. And there are subtle differences, not that we're going to notice in this class. So, all of the programs and presentations and everything that go with VB.net are also viable. And now that we're getting into if statements and loops and everything, I'm going to start using some of those. At the beginning, it was fairly general. So, if you go to programs, or actually, programs, I did those when I did them. The if program zipped is what you want to download. And I then broke it down into categories, and I have a Word version and an HTML version just to show the code. Okay. Which was very nice of me, and notice I have not continued to do it because it was a pain in the neck. But anyway, you can see the HTML version and the Word version of just the code if you want to on these. Okay, so if I take the if programs and unzip them, there are a variety of things, and the one I want to look at is, we're going to look at other if for a minute. Just because it's got a math problem in it I want to look at, and then we'll go and look at a couple of others. So if you unzip those, there should be one that is labeled other if. It should be saying something on the kin to other if. If you go in, there's a files and an if subfolder. And if you go to the if subfolder, there's one that says other if. Did everybody find it okay? Did anybody not find it? Is anybody going to clue me in? You got it or don't got it?
I'm fine.
Okay. So, on this one, I have checked equals true, and I'm adding some things up. And then I said, and these are the things I wanted to point out, if word count is greater than 2, then put word test equal to true. Set word test equal to true. Else, set word test equal to false. Then when I want to test word test, I can just say if word test. And if I get a yes to word test, it means it's true. So I can say if word test, rather than saying if word test equals true. I can just say if word test. Okay. So I set up a variable called word test, and it was a Boolean, and it will be either true or false, which will be 0 or 1, in fact, since it's a Boolean, but it tests for true and false. And so if I say if word test, then not regional in Outlook, else put out a space. Okay. Now the next one gets into a math problem. I want you to do the math problem, so you can follow it through. So do this math problem up here. and see what you come up with as the answer. Yeah, you can if you want to, but I just wanted you to make sure you're comfortable with the order of operations. So that's when I saw this one, and I thought, because I did it wrong the first time I did it in my head.
So it's if 5 is greater than 6.
Yes. Did you figure it out, or did you cheat and look below?
No, I just did like I just used 2 separate counties.
This is power.
Yeah.
X to the W power. And in the order of operations, powers take precedence over addition, multiplication and division. Yes. So if I run this and the first one was checking these different areas, and since I checked 3 not regional in outlook, meaning if I've lived in 3 parts of the country, I'm not hung up on a particular region. But then the math test comes up. Okay, so the math test, the first message box that pops up, okay, it does it, but then I showed you the step by steps. So B plus Z divided by Y is 5, okay? Because the first thing it does is do the add in the parenthesis, which is 10 plus 5, that's 15, divided by 3 is 5. Okay, and then I said, okay, and the next one is 6. So 6 is X, which is 6, to the W power, W being 2, so that's 36. 6 times 6 is 36. And then next, I come over and do the multiply. So I've got 36, and then Y times V is 3 times 10 is 30, and then I subtract 30 from 36, and I get 6. Okay? So I get 6.
I have a quick question about this.
Just a sec. And then it comes out with this statement here, because this is not true. if 5 is greater than 6, it's not, so it's false. And then I come down and to test for false, I say if not, would test. And it is not would test, so it's false. And so I get that message up there. So this is just playing around testing the Boolean thing, word test, and it's also just playing around with the order of operations. Yeah.
So for the first if statement, wouldn't it do the else and put false before it even displays the message boxes?
Yeah, but I didn't tell you to tell me anything about the false, so what difference does it make?
It's not printing it.
I don't say any place there, display it, or do anything with it. I just say calculate it.
Oh.
Okay, so, yeah, word test is false, but until I ask about it, it's not displaying anything.
All right.
Word test isn't a field on the form or anything. Okay.
So, the not, if not, sorry, I'm not quite understanding why, if you did that as an if-else statement.
Then you'd say if word test equals false.
Yeah, okay.
Word test is true. So up here when I said if word test, that means if it's true, do this. If not word test means that it's, if word test is false, do this.
Okay.
Okay. So, if work test and if not work test are the two ways I test for true and false. Okay. Are you okay on that?
Yep.
Yeah.
To cry. Grade validation, if else grade. If grade. Well, we'll go with grade validation. I knew what they were last night. Okay, so here I have a series of buttons and a series of grades. And some checking that I can do. Okay. So I'm going to go look at what's coming up. Okay, so the first thing is button grade. And button grade is taking and calculating the grade. And then it is asking about whether the letter grade is an A, B, C, D, etc. So if I start out okay. So Susan Ash, and she is taking CIS 150. And her grades have been okay. So those are her grades. Now, if I want to find out her grade, I'm going to click on button grade. And the grade is 90.5. Okay. So it went in and it took the four grades. It did the calculation, added them all up, and then divided by four. And it put out the message grade is. And I concatenated, because I'm concatenating with a string, it is then converting, I converted this to a string. So I'm concatenating string to string. Sometimes it gets touchy when I try to concatenate two different types. So by just converting that to a string, I'm concatenating string to string. Okay.
It does putting like an enter not make a difference for like the addition? For like the work rate of how you put it on a different line or a part of it?
It didn't make a difference. I'm not sure what I understand.
Could
you put it up here on the same line? Sure.
Yeah. I thought, doesn't that break the code sometimes?
Sometimes, but it doesn't when you're doing a calculation.
And then value, the VAL.
VAL is kind of the catch-all way of converting something to a number.
Perfect.
You can be specific and say convert decimal, convert and all that,
double.
Or to convert double, or you can convert integer or something, or you can kind of use the catch-all. And VAL, the net were things were written prior to the ones that we're looking at to go with our book, because .NET was what we had a few years ago. And VAL was a lot used then. It's less used now. It's now more, people tend to be more specific. But VAL was a lot used then. So you're going to see in these kinds of examples, VAL popping up as my way of doing conversions. So then I said, okay, if work grade is greater than equal to 90, then work letter grade is an A. Okay. Now, a lot of people, when they do this, make this a this greater than this and less than this, but there's no reason to. Because if work grade is greater or equal to 90, it's going to put out the A, and then it is not going to go to the else. Okay? It's going to just drop out because it's handled things. The only things that go to the else are things that are not greater than or equal to 90. So therefore, all I have to ask is it greater than or equal to 80? I know it's not greater than or equal to 90, so now I'm catching the 80s. And if it is, it will put out a B, else it will just, it knows that everything above 80 has been handled, so now I'm just checking the 70. Okay, so there's no need, it's not that it's wrong, it's just a waste of time to check the range when you're doing an if else like this. Okay. So I went out and I figured out the letter grade, and if it's not a D, then it's an F. Okay. And again, notice how nicely Visual Basic indents for you. Okay, then I said okay, and the next thing I see is the grade for Oracle. So that's down here. Whoops. Okay, so I had clicked Oracle. So it says if 17 is tricked equals true, then put out that. And mine went down to if red CIS 50 checked equals true, then put out the grade for Oracle and SQL is, and this is a way of telling it that I'm going down to the next line when I'm concatenating. And so I can put that underscore in there, and it goes down to the next line, and as you can see, that worked as well, okay? So that gives me, then concatenate that with letter grade. So if you're concatenating, you can do it that way. And obviously I could have fit it all on one line, but I wanted to show you that, so I put it on two lines. Okay. So I'm then concatenating with the thing that is stored in work letter grade. Okay. Now this is all in the same routine. So therefore, since it's all in the same routine, I have defined dim work grade and dim letter grade up here in the routine. if they were two different clicks to get that information and two different routines, then work letter grade would have to be defined up at the top. Notice up at the top you've got the inherits. That was put in automatically when I converted from the older version to the new. Okay? So it puts that inherits in because this was written in an older version originally. Okay, and then I came down and here I did a tiny bit of validating. Not a lot of validating. For one thing, I just gave the messages and I didn't make them fix it. And we will look as we go along on how we can make them fix it. But I didn't do that. I just gave the messages and trusted them to take care of it, which was a foolish thing to do, okay? But that's the way I coded it because we haven't got into the stuff that I want to get into before we show the how to keep it in a loop, basically, and fix it. So I started out and I said, if text name dot text length, okay, equals zero, then please enter the name, otherwise name is missing. And notice I did all of these inside a click event called validate. And we'll also see, so what this does is if I make a lot of errors, I get them all slammed at me one at a time. And we'll again, as we move on, look at better ways of handling that. But this is all one routine. It's I click on validate and it just spits out everything I did wrong. So if I got the length wrong, I put out a please enter name, missing name, with the okay, etc. So if I do this, okay, I'm going to clear it, and I'm going to put in and I'm going to go and say validate, and it says please enter name. Okay, now notice the other things that it says, and I can't move it over. Okay. So if I say validate, it says please enter name. It puts up name missing. It chooses the message box of K, and it puts up the icon for information. So those are the things I can put in message box. I don't have to do any of that. I can just say message box. Okay, usually when I'm doing the shortcut, I use MSGBOX because that works as well. And if I'm not gonna put in all the bells and whistles, then I just use MSGBOX, okay? But if I'm putting in the bells and whistles, I have to use message box. So then it goes on from there. So it says, please enter name. And I say, okay. And then it gives me the other things that are wrong. So it dropped down to third and gave me something that was wrong about that. No, it gave me the third was okay, actually, because I threw in a bunch of different things. So on the next one, I went to, if text grade is less than one, or greater than 100, then I wanted to put out not numeric or outside the range. And I've got different things, and we'll look at one and two being off. If I got to third, it's greater than zero and less than 101, so I put out third okay on that one. And on the last one, I put out fourth okay. And the fourth one, I also, is coming out fourth okay. Okay, so now if I go back and I mess these up, And I say validate. It says please enter name. And then it comes up and says first grade, not numeric or outside of the range. Then it says second grade, not numeric or outside the range. Okay. And then if work answer equals you entered okay, so now I'm telling it it entered okay, then it goes on and checks the third grade is not numeric or outside the range. Then the fourth grade is not numeric. Okay. And so it immediately dropped out because I said if is numeric, which is a test for numeric. So on this one, I did a lot of checking on what they did, but as I said, I didn't force them to fix anything. So now they can go back and fix it. They've got all the errors. They can go back and fix it. If they don't fix everything and they hit validate again, it's going to show you them the things that are wrong this time. So this works as far as showing them the errors. But, you know, you may want to not show them, blah, here's what's wrong. Questions? So I basically tried to put a bunch of things in there that relate to message boxes, like the dialogue result okay. And only if it's numeric does it then check down here for outside of range. So if I put in Susan Ash again, and this time, which one was it? This one that I want to do. So I want to put 200 in there. And then say validate. It says third, okay. And then it says fourth grade outside range. So it was numeric, so it didn't get bounced on the numeric, but it's not in the range, so I got the outside of range message. Last time I had an A there, so I got the fact that it was not numeric. Okay, so I'm only checking range if it's outside the range. So that's just a group of kinds of checks that you can put on things. And then clear clears out the boxes, and end ends it. So if you look at clear, which is up here, the radio buttons had to be set the check, set the, if they checked, set the check part equal to false, there we go. And the others were all just clears.
And then the radio, you can only click on one button?
Yes.
So if we needed more, then we would use check boxes.
Check boxes, right, right. Okay, yes, radios only allow you to click on one button, and check boxes let me have as many as you want. So, in fact, I used an if and an else. So if it's not, once I check it, I get out of the if else. You wouldn't want to do that with check boxes because I'm out once I get one that is checked. Okay, with check boxes, you want to make them standalone checks, if and if, for each one, because I need to check each one as I'm going through. That's going to drive me crazy. Whatever version I have at home has the open in a different spot and slightly. Okay, the grade, if else grade and if grade are all kinds of variations of that that you can look at. There are other things down here, these inventory ones, are all examples using a variety of different if statements. So if you're not comfortable with if statements, these are the ones that you should look at. For example, if I pick if inventory and combine, whatever that is. I did if inventory combine A. All of them have this format, and then they all have different if statements in them. So this one is saying, if text on hand is less than 20 and text on order is less than 20, then need to order, otherwise no order. So these essentially go through all of the different basic if statements, ands, ors, embedded, and all of that kind of stuff. So that if you are uncomfortable with if statements, I would strongly suggest you spend a little time bringing them up. Now, the nice thing about it, as I mentioned, is if you click on the HTML version, they're all laid out here in the code. So you don't have to open and run them, okay? You can just look at the code, because I've laid all of these out and you've got the code so that you can see how they're working, okay? So the if and also would be done this way. So I wrote if this and this, or I could have written if, then right below it another if they're both true, need to order. If I get a no to either one of them, then I don't need to order. So I've written them out in simple ifs, and I've written them out in compound ifs. Okay, so I would spend a little time, if you're not comfortable with this, going through and looking at these if statements. Okay. I'm trying to remember. The one that we looked at earlier is in here. In fact, that one I think is it. No, I guess that one's it, the grade validation. Okay, so the ones we looked at in earlier are here. So you've got the code that you can go and look at and get started on those. Now, back to the ones that we were looking at. I don't think we looked at input val. Does anybody remember whether I'm out of my mind or whether I'm correct?
I missed Monday, so I wouldn't know.
Well, missing Monday wouldn't have done you any harm.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
Or Tuesday, yeah, it is Tuesday. You're right. I got Lisa's program on.
Okay, so I think input val we didn't do. But I may be remembering wrong. Yes, no, maybe?
No.
No? Okay. The others, I think we went through and looked at all of them. But this one, I don't think we did.
No.
So on the first one here, I said button click. So that's what happens if I click that button. And if I say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then say click, it says it has been converted. Okay, so what I did was I put in a number in work amount. I put a number rather, I'm sorry, in whatever this box is. Work text amount in this box, text amount. Okay, so I said try converting that to decimal and storing it in work amount. Okay, so it tries converting it to decimal and storing and work them out. And if it's successful, it says converted. If it's not, it throws out the word error. So if I throw in here an A and I click on click, I now have error because it could not convert that. Okay. And if I have a whole number up here and say click, it tells me that it converted. Okay. Then integer try parse. Okay. This is okay. So if this is another way of using the try, or another kind of try, is if integer try parse. Okay, then what it says here is I am going to look at textAmount.txt. And I am going to then have work into answer to hold is this done or not. So I said if textAmount.txt, basically I'm converting it and it says text message equals okay, and the answer that I come up with, okay, because I said this is where I want you to put the answer that I come up with, I put in this box here. Else, if it couldn't convert it, I would end up with the word problem up there instead of okay. So this is try parsing this, and if you come up with an answer, put it in this box, work answer. Okay, try parsing it. And if it works, then I put something in work answer. So if it's an integer, so if I put up here, let me erase these things. If I put up here 12.5 and I do it, it says there's a problem because it's not an integer. Okay. That's kind of a strange way of doing it, I think, but essentially it's saying it's not an integer. And so I have the word problem. But when I had an integer there, it was fine. So it's more kind of checking to see if it's an integer than anything else. And your book goes into this, so take a look. And let's see. Then this one is a very simple checking a price. And if the price is valid, then I do a calculation and put it out. So I put in a price of, I really like 12 since that's the first two keys. And I calculate that, and that's simply just a simple calculation. So that's if statements that we have looked at. Anybody got any questions? Wait a minute. From the work that we did on Tuesday? Did you go home and work on it, or did you say, that's another day? I've had it. Okay. Well, if there's no questions, then we'll move on, and you can ask me questions next week if you have them. Okay, so if I go to .NET loops, these have some basic loops. So I'm going to look at the .NET ones first. The ones that are under Chapter 5 that we're going to look at that go with the book are a little more complicated. So we're going to look at these first. And so intro loops, these are the different kinds of loops that you can have. Okay. So I'm going to start out with, I'm going to start out with the do while, because that's the most common one. Okay, this comes up because it is a earlier version, and it comes up and does this. Okay, so apparently I didn't do it on this disk. I didn't do a convert. So it says, and that's good that it came up. It says, oh, you say okay. It does the conversion and gives you this migration report, which you don't want anything to do with. So you just click on the X and that goes away, and it's there. So if you're doing this old one that is not compatible directly, it gives you that. Okay. So, this ought to look familiar to anybody that was at PHP this morning, because I am doing the weight and the cost again. It's hard to think of the unique programs. Okay, first of all, REM also works as a remark. Okay, so that's just another way of doing a remark. You can also use the single quote, but REM is another way of doing a remark. And people sometimes use the REM more when they're doing kind of documentation. So there you can see some documentation. Okay. So on this one, I have a do while. Okay, so the first things I did were set up constants. So constants are things that I'm not planning to change. If I do change them, I'm going to go into the hard code and change the hard coded thing in there. So these are things that I'm not planning to change. And what I am saying here is that the cost for the first pound, I'm weighing this, the cost for the first pound is going to be $1.5. And the cost for every additional is going to be 0.5. Okay? Then I said, okay, I'm going to calculate the ounces because that's how I'm doing this. So I'm calculating the ounces. So I take the pounds and multiply it by 16, and then I add in the ounces. So if you look at the form, okay, so send to John Doe, and we're not giving him an address. And if I put in here 2 pounds, 3 ounces, okay? So I put in 2 pounds, 3 ounces. So the first thing it's doing here is taking the 2, multiplying it by 16, which gives me 32, and adding in the ounces, so that gives me 35 ounces. Okay, so I've got 35 ounces if I calculate this. But right now I'm just storing that work weight. Then I said, okay, if work weight is less than 17, that means it's just a pound. And at that point I just say, okay, the cost is going to be the cost of a first pound. Because if it's less than 17, it's just a pound. Or under a pound, then the first pound costs $1.50. Then I say, okay, else, take and subtract a pound from my weight and make the cost equal to 150. Because if I'm subtracting from the weight, so I had 35, and now I'm subtracting 16 from it, and what's left is what I'm going to use in my calculation. And since I've subtracted it, I also want to add the $1.50 to the cost, because that's the cost of the first pound. Then I said, okay, now, and now's where I get into my loop. Do while work weight is greater than zero. So until I get down to zero, I'm going to cue this loop. And as I mentioned when I went over this example in PHP, there are easier ways to do this, but then I wouldn't get to show a loop. So I did it this way to show a loop. So inside the loop, I say, okay, if it's greater than zero, do the loop, which says, okay, add 0.5 to the cost and subtract 4 from the weight. Add 0.5 to the cost, subtract 4 from the weight. And I just keep doing that until the weight is no longer greater than zero. And when the weight is no longer greater than zero, I'm done. Okay, so if I click on calculate, it comes back and tells me apparently $4. Okay. So that's a do loop. And I've got a do while work weight is greater than zero. Okay. And notice at the bottom, I just put the word loop, which tells me it's time to go back. So the do while and then the loop, which tells me it's time to go back. No curly braces because those aren't used in Visual Basic. Okay? So the code to be executed within the loop comes after the do while and before the word loop. And that's the code to be executed over and over again. Then when I leave the loop, I format it as currency and put it out. And my clear clears all my buttons. And my exit does just that, exit. Okay. So that is a basic do while loop. Okay, I've got my condition and I'm changing the weight. Okay, so remember, I have to set it before I go in. Well, up here, I'm doing the set. Then I'm doing the check here. And then I'm doing the change down here. So I'm setting the control, and the control for this one is work weight. Okay, I'm checking the control, I'm changing the control. So checking the control as is work weight greater than zero, and changing the control is saying work weight minus 4. Okay, so those are the three things I need in the loop to set the control, check the control, and change the control. And I've done all three in here. Questions? Then I have a do until. Okay. So this is do until. So do until work weight is less than or equal to zero. Okay, so the while, the difference between a while and a do until. Okay, the while was testing greater than zero. This is testing less than and equal to zero. Okay, they're gonna work the same way. But the while was testing for greater than zero, and the do until is testing for less than and equal. So notice it's the reverse. Here I'm saying do while it's greater than zero. Okay, so as long as it's greater than zero, I stay in. This says do until it's less than or equal to zero. Okay, so while is really keeping me in, and until is telling me more about how to get out. Do while it's greater than zero. So do while it is still greater than zero. this is what will keep you in if it's greater than zero. And the until is saying this is what will get you out. Do until it's less than or equal to zero. So that's what will get you out. Okay. This is what gets you out. This is what you stay in. So I stay in while it's greater than zero. With the dual until, I get out when it is less than or equal to zero. At least that's the way I think of it. But notice they are the reverse. Greater than zero, I want to stay in. When it becomes less than or is equal to zero, I want to get out. Okay? So you set up your do depending on which kind of thing you want. And on this one, it didn't matter. I could do it both ways. Questions? Okay, and this one runs exactly the same way. And I get the same results. Okay. And notice that if I put in 0 pounds and 3 ounces, and calculate, I get the $1.50, because the first pound is going to cost me $1.50, no matter how many ounces it is. So if I have 3 ounces, it gets me that. If I have 12 ounces, it gets me that. Okay, because anything under a pound is getting me the $1.50. I must have tested these last night on my hard drive as opposed to on the flash drive. Okay, this one gives me a for loop. And the for loop says for this number, going from 1 to 10. And you can, if you want to, write in the fact that this is what I'm incrementing by step 1. But it assumes 1 if you don't tell it something. If it's other than 1, you should put in the step clause. If it's 1, you don't need it. Okay, so do it from 1 to 10. And again, this tells me everything that I need to know. This gives me the start. Then it gives me the end, but knowing the end gives me the condition. Because if I know where to start and I know where I end, then I've really got the condition. I'm saying while it's, you know, less than 11 or whatever is the condition. So that 10 tells me the condition. And then this tells me how I want it to change. I want to add 1 to it. And again, if you don't put that step 1 clause in, then it assumes that you want to add by 1. So I'm saying go from 1 to 10. So if I process, I'm seeing the math facts for the ones. Okay, 1 + 1 = 2, and so forth going in there. Notice first number stays a 1, second number goes from 1 to 10, and that changes answer, obviously. Now this is a box that I have set up, and the way this box works, let's get back out and then come back in, and look at the form. Okay, that's a list box. Okay, so you can go out there and look at it, and that's a list box. So with the way I use a list box, is I'm saying the list box is named First Math Facts, and I want to add an item to the box. And so I say items, add, what do I want to add? Room to show. So I'm adding that to the box. Okay, so every time I go through, I add it to the box, and it automatically moves down to the next line and puts it in the box. Okay. So I've made a list box, and I'm saying take that list box, add a new item to it, and that item you're adding should be work show, work to show. So it adds work to show to the box. Okay. So a list box is kind of a nice thing when you want to go through something like this and just keep adding things to a list. A list box works well for that.
And you can continue to add to that list.
Yeah. And if I keep adding to that list, it actually, okay. So if I say I want to go from 1 to 50,
thank you.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. There it is. And if I gives me a scroll bar, because it doesn't all fit. And if I scroll down, there's my top one. So it gives me the scroll bar automatically when the box that I set up is not big enough to hold it. And then I can scroll down and see all the rest.
And that could work as like a total box. Let's say you didn't have an actual, like let's say you didn't have 4 work second number equals 1 to 50.
Right.
If you did just one click of the button and it went 1 plus 1, and then you had another subroutine that did 1 plus 2 equals 3.
Yes. And you can use that for that.
You can add it to that list, as you would with a total.
Yeah.
List math facts 1 plus.
Yes.
List math facts. Okay.
Yeah. No, it doesn't have to be all within the loop. That is what you seem to be asking. If I click, it will then move down. It keeps track of where it is in the list box, and it will move down to the next one. You know, people tend to use it for this, but there are times when you want to capture things from different places. You can put it in the list box. Okay, so here I have the double going. And I wanted to start at 2. I wanted to end at 10. And I wanted the increment to be whatever is in work increment. And so my work increment is 2. So that means the first number is the first number in here, which is going to go from 2 to 10, step 2. Okay, so basically, work start is a 2, work end is a 10, step work increment, which is a 2. So it's going from 2 to 10 by step 2. So it therefore goes 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Within it, the inner loop is also going from 2 to 10 with a increment of 2. And so the second number, which is from the inner loop, goes 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and so forth. Okay. And I didn't have to have them have the same thing. I could have said, make the outer one go from 1 to 10. Or make the other one go from 1 to 5, or 2 to 8, or whatever I wanted to do. So the outer one could have had okay, I could change the outer one to say I want to go from 4 to 6, step 1. Okay, so the outer number now goes from 4 to 6, step 1, so it goes 4, 5, 6. And the second number still goes from 2 to 10, with an increment of 2, so it goes 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I can either hard code these numbers in, or I can use variables. In this example, it doesn't make any sense really to use the variables, but if the variables are being gathered from someplace else in the program, from something you're doing, then it makes sense to go ahead and assign them and just leave the variables and let them get changed at another place and then work or something like that. But where I'm just doing something like this, hard coding is makes a lot of sense. Okay, and then when I put it out, I put work first name concatenated with a plus, concatenated with work second num, concatenated with an equal, concatenated with the result. And then take that and put it in as the item I want to add to the list box. So I have the list box and I have items that I want to add to the list box. Questions? Trying to remember which one I wanted. Now we'll just go in order. I think I actually did the easy one now and the harder one later. Okay, so this is the easy one. We've already done the hard one. So I've got do while count is less than or equal to 15. Okay, when count equals 15, I'm 16 rather, I'm out. And I said I wanted to add the item. The item that I want to add is this is week concatenated with count concatenated of the semester. Okay, so that's showing a very simple do while, and the count is count plus 1. Thank you. keep wanting to go to where it is on my computer. Okay, and this is the simple do and tilt. Do loop while the count is less than or equal to 15. Okay. So it's a do while still, but I'm testing at the bottom, and I will always do it once. Okay, so in this case, why did that happen?
Because the next count would be less than or
equal to 15. Yeah, but why did I just get that?
Oh, because you're running it as a, it's going to run it through once because it's a do.
Yep, and because I, so what I was looking for is I set that at 16. Okay, I set that at 16. So it came in, did it once, and then said, wait a minute, loop while count is less than or equal to 15. That's not true, so I'm out of here. Okay, if I had changed that and I had dim count as integer equal to 1, okay, and then I ran this, now I get them all, because I started at 1, and it keeps, when it hit the while, it said file count is less than or equal to 15. It's not, it kept doing it over and over again. But when I started with 16, it did it just once, because after it had done it, it checked to see if count was less than or equal to 15, and count by that point was up to 17, because I'd added one to it. And so it was out of there. Repeat until and until post. So repeat until count is greater than 15. When I hit the while, it was while it was less than or equal to 15. Now I'm flipping over. The while and the until tend to get the opposites. And this is do while count is greater than 15. Okay, do until rather, count is greater than 15. So what am I gonna see when I run this one? Nothing. Why? The why is because I set it at 16. And so it came in here, it was set at 16, do until count is less than 16, it already is, I'm out of here. Okay. So putting that in there meant that I saw nothing. If I went back and change it, now I'm getting them all. And then the last one in this group, is repeat until post. Okay, And this is the until being done below. So both the while and the until can be done either on top or on the bottom. Okay, so this gives me that kind of flexibility. So when I run this one, what am I going to see?
Should get one line.
Right. This is week 16 of the semester. Okay? Because I set the integer count at 16, the do with the test beneath means it will execute it once. And then it will stop. So if I go in and change this like I did with the others, now I'm seeing them all. Good show. Now I'm seeing them all because I started the integer out at 1 and it went through. And do until count is greater than 15, so when I add 1 to count, it becomes greater than 15. When it goes up to 16, it's out. Okay, that's the end of that group, and with 4 minutes to go, that's the end period. And we will look at more loops next week. But hopefully you've seen the main kinds of loops that you can use now.